Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday at long last, September 6, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, having more or less recovered from yesterday's birthday festivity, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Also with me today, Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, and happy belated birthday, Charlotte. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. I'm glad we're all here. We have some interesting stuff to talk about. The first topic I want to talk to you both about today is that Apple has put up a web interface of their own. So that makes it, you know, more or less official, I imagine, for Apple Music. Right, Charlotte?
Yeah. Andrew and I have had quite a lot of fun over the last kind of months finding people who have built their own web interfaces for Apple Music, but Andrew has discovered the official one. It's in beta at the moment, but yeah, it is real and it exists. So it looks like Apple is going to produce a proper one. And if you want to see the beta, it's at beta.music.apple.com. You just sign in with your normal Apple ID.
All right. Interesting. Now
it is interesting because You've never been able to do it before. So things like Spotify, you've always been able to sign in on the web.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're on, dare I suggest it, an office computer that is not your own, but you want to listen to your music, you're not going to download Spotify onto your company's computer, you can log in online and have a listen through a web browser.
Yes.
You couldn't really do that with Apple Music or iTunes, even if the device had iTunes on it. You know, you start syncing all sorts of things. It would just be a bit of a mess.
So, oh, yeah.
I think this is a pretty good move, really. And it's something people have wanted for a long time. As I said, there's been all sorts of unofficial ones floating around. So now this is the proper one.
Yeah.
And this is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was going to say, Dave, I think this is interesting because this is the latest in a series of web interfaces we've gotten from Apple. And like to me, that acknowledgement, you know, sort of late in the game, that not everybody has an Apple screen in front of them 100% of the time.
Yeah, well, and to your point, Charlotte, you're totally right. You can play Spotify in a web browser as long as that web browser is not Safari. Because Spotify, even right now, says this browser doesn't support Spotify web player, switch browsers, or download Spotify for your desktop. Apple Music's beta, no great surprise, actually works in Safari, but also works in Firefox, as I'm finding out here. And I was able to log in and got the, you know, whole two-factor notification thing and logged in, and it's all right there, ready to roll. So that's interesting to me. I'm also curious with the changes to like WebRTC and all the other stuff that's coming with Safari 13, if in fact Spotify will begin to work there. But yeah, that is for another day.
I just put it into Chrome as well, and it looks like it's working totally fine on Chrome.
Yeah, it's so, it loaded up a page and it's offering to let me sign in. And showing me a list of things here.
And it looks, I have to say, it looks really good. It looks like a proper, neat, clean Apple interface. It looks like Apple Music on the web, basically.
The only thing I'm seeing, and I see this in all browsers, so it's not it's not a browser related issue, but my playlists are flat, whereas in iTunes, I have, you know, playlist folders and playlists in there. With these, they are just alphabetized and flat.
Okay.
It doesn't matter that they were in a folder or anything.
Yeah.
So, but UX-wise, that's the only thing that really jumps out at first. Yeah, no, this is nice. It is important to note that iTunes, especially when you're browsing the store, not necessarily when you're playing your music, but when you're browsing the store, that is a web interface.
Yes.
Right? Like that always has been. iTunes is just a, you know, wrapper around a web browser for that kind of stuff. Again, playing your songs, not as much. And I don't think even Apple Music is a web interface there. I think that's, that's a little more native. But but yeah, for browsing the store, that's always been a web interface, even all the way back. So it's, and it makes sense, right? Like you were saying, Charlotte, this is we are in a web browser based world. There are many things we can do in browsers now that previously were reserved for desktop apps, and arguably in some cases should be reserved for desktop apps. But, you know, when you're in that scenario where you cannot install a specific app on a computer, you know, the web browsers are super powerful these days. Like the fact that Google Docs or iCloud Docs, you know, in the cloud can even exist, we could argue about its efficacy, but you know, the reality is there are some scenarios where that is the best interface. If you want to do some collaboration, and like it works great. It works great. Yeah. So yeah, very interesting. And good to see.
It's also a couple. Go ahead, Charlotte.
No, I was just gonna say a couple of other related thoughts struck me that I'd like your two opinions on. So we know that iTunes is in its last days.
Yes.
Rest in peace. Do we think, therefore, we are going to get web browser versions of the other split up bits? Because I was just thinking, you know, when Dave was saying we live in a web browser world, you can watch Netflix via web browser, right? But so are we going to get the other bits of iTunes that are going to become individual services? Do we think we're going to get web versions of those? Because to me, what this seems like was Apple is all part of Apple's service drive. It's saying we're going to make services a really big deal. We want to make it as easy for people as possible to get to use them.
Yeah, you have to be ubiquitous if you really want to get the mileage out of it. So I could see. I wonder if the reason that the and I'm completely making this up this second, it just occurred to me, part of the reason the Apple Music web interface is in beta is because if they can nail down, you know, getting signed in and making sure the account is correct and having all of that stuff work effectively, music is, if you're going to play music, a unit of music tends to be a relatively small file when you are talking about like the size of the file that you are streaming to that computer. And if they can roll this out and get all the technology in place and everything's working the way that it should with music, there's no reason that I should not be able to watch a movie that I rented in a web browser, or perhaps a TV show. If Apple were to, say, hypothetically release a streaming service and have TV content that they want to show me, making it as easy as possible for me to get that on whatever screen is in front of me, whether Apple made it or not, seems like a really solid way for this particular system to evolve. And I think maybe that's why they started with music. Dave, what do you think?
Well, technically, they started with podcasts, right? Because that has been, they launched that web player when they revved the podcasts interface a month or two or three ago.
That's
earlier
right.
This year.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean,
I never see that one and I don't remember talking about it. So that's why it slipped my mind.
Yeah, no. But what's weird is if you go to simply podcasts.apple.com, you will be brought and redirected to the App Store preview for the iOS app for Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
But if you know the URL for the podcast you want to listen to, that is also at podcasts.apple.com, then you will get the page for the podcast and the web player for each episode that iTunes knows about right there.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there's no discovery on the web of podcasts, which, by golly, that would be fantastic if Apple actually had that out there to really expose these things.
But, you hear that, Apple?
Yeah, right. But, you know, but it's there. So that that's actually kind of interesting. It's a weird sort of.
But do you have to be signed into anything to use that player? Does it care if you've got an Apple ID that you're logged into in order to play that podcast?
That is a good question. I'm answering the question now.
So I wonder if maybe that's been the evolution of this interface. It's like, we'll start with one where it doesn't matter if you're logged in. Then we'll start with one where you're logged in and get a small unit and a small unit of something streamed to you. And then,
I can play podcasts in a private browsing window in Firefox.
No problem. No login transaction happening. So, okay.
Correct. Yep.
So maybe that's, maybe that's why we got the podcast web player.
Yeah,
this is lending weight
to my theory. Require authentication. Yeah,
right.
Good point.
And again, relatively small files for a lot of things. So
yeah, larger than music files though.
Yeah,
for a show like
this. But no login. Yeah, so
but no login. Right. Yes. Right. Free content.
Yeah. Can we put a web interface behind anything? Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Can we put a free one? Can we put up a free interface? Can we put up a web interface that requires you to log in? And then can we put one up that requires you to log in and give you a giant file?
Iterative design at its finest, which is what Apple does really well.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. Yep. Yep.
And then, of course, I'm sure we'll see the introduction and incorporation of sign in with Apple into all this as well.
Oh, certainly.
Right. Oh, of course. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yep.
Yes.
That will be the main login function there, won't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that. And another thing I'm looking forward to is some of the changes that we know are coming to Siri. We've seen a little bit about that news breaking today, but also we've seen a little bit that led us to sort of have a larger conversation about voice assistants and what happens when you start asking them interesting questions. Right, Charlotte?
Right. Well, it's also a general point about AI and however much we think the world is run by computers, it's the humans making the computers and their systems.
Yes.
So the Guardian had a really good story, which I actually took two bits of information from. So there's two pieces up on the Mac Observer about the documents that got leaked to the Guardian. They were given documents apparently by someone that was a Siri grader, you know, one of these people who were listening to the conversations and the questions you ask your watch and your HomePod and those kind of things. Anyway, so it should apparently Siri should be neutral apparently when dealing with controversial content. Questions can be deflected apparently, but there has to be neutral. And it kind of changed some of the answers it was giving to some things. So if you ask Siri, Siri doesn't really like it if you ask it if it's a feminist, I don't think, for those kind of things. So Apple, I think we should be fair, we should give Apple's statement, which was Siri is a digital assistant designed to help users get things done. The team works hard to ensure Siri responses are relevant to all customers. Our approach is to be factual with inclusive responses rather than offer opinions. But it did change the script to deflect on certain issues. The issues apparently included feminism, the Me Too movement, those kind of things, and apparently the source was unimpressed, and that's why they leaked the documents. But so the document said, for instance, in nearly all cases Siri doesn't have a point of view, which is interesting, and I think leads us to lots of different questions. Is not having a view
that arguably yes, right?
Yeah, but, especially right? Well, if the decision has been made not to, then yes, that's a perspective, right. If nothing else, yeah.
And just a little kind of bit of frivolity as well. Apparently the document said that Siri is non-human, incorporeal, placeless, genderless, playful, humble, doesn't know its true origin, but it definitely wasn't a human invention.
Yes.
Interesting.
Except I think these documents prove rather conclusively Siri is a human invention. And dare I suggest it... an invention largely by human men.
Yeah.
I look forward to your letters.
Can I get some of those letters too? I have some things to add to this.
Yes, please.
Stand well so, back.
By all means, observations at macobserver.com. Go, Dave.
Yeah. So I took to asking not only Siri, but the Amazon A lady and the Google assistant, the question, are you a feminist? And so Siri's answer is very much in line with in relation to the other two. It's definitely very much in line with this document. I'm not sure if it's gone far enough to actually make it a neutral response, because Siri's answer is, I am a believer in equality and treating people with respect. So that is an opinion, and couched in the are you a feminist question, definitely you know, feels like something in support of feminism without actually using that word.
Yes.
But that's what it says. Asking the A-lady the exact same question, the answer is, more definitively, yes, I'm a feminist as defined by believing in gender equality. So, with an asterisk, not an asterisk, but a clarification, which is good.
Yes.
Because there are many humans who don't know what a feminist is. So it's great that the Amazon's A-lady does. That's great.
Yes.
There it is. That's where I'm going to get my letters. Perfect. I knew I would fumble something and stick my foot in my mouth. So there it is. Perfect. I keep going here, seeing how many more letters I can get. The Google Assistant answered, I am a strong believer in equality, so I definitely consider myself a feminist. So there's your three answers.
Which is almost the opposite of the Siri answer, which is not having a point of view, not having an opinion, and a more nebulous sort of presence, where the Google Assistant says myself.
Yes. Well, but you know, like Siri answers, I am a believer. Yeah. So there's very much a first person point of view there.
Oh, sure.
As all of them have. Interestingly, Siri did not use a contraction. Siri is, I am a believer. Mm-hmm. A-lady and Google Assistant were, you know, A-lady was, yes, I'm a feminist, et cetera. And Google Assistant was, I'm a strong believer in equality. So that's that whole, like, that reminds me echoes of Commander Data, right?
On Star Trek. Thinking that it's Data. Yeah.
It's Data. Yeah. And if you go back to early episodes with Data, I think there are instances where that character used a contraction, but that was sort of scrubbed from the script going forward to make it more robotic. So interesting. Yes.
It's interesting as well, because they are over a year old, these documents, Apple. Mm. So they're from June 2018, according to The Guardian.
Interesting.
So, yeah, Apple obviously hasn't encountered. Look, I guess Siri is tweaked and, you know, nudged over the time. But these guidelines haven't changed, apparently, since for over a year. I imagine, given what we've known has happened with the graders and Siri, you know, Apple listening to Siri conversations and requests and those kind of things, I wouldn't be surprised if some of this gets tweaked and changed again. So it'll be worth keeping an eye on when you ask Siri some perhaps more complicated questions. But as you said in the introduction, Kelly, this is not the only thing we learned from those documents. Actually, some of it's quite positive. So the documents also revealed that Apple in iOS 13 is going to introduce play this on that requests via Siri.
Mm-hmm.
I think particularly into the identification through the, you know, Shazam identification through the Apple Watch is happening as well. It's going to be Find My Friends.
I'm excited about that one. That's one of the few where Siri on my phone ends up getting a workout a lot, is because I have to pick up my phone and say, who is this, in order to find out who that song is. Yeah.
So it's going to be things like, you know, play whoever on my HomePod, on my Mac Pro, whatever. You're going to be able to ask Siri to do that, which I think is a very good use of a home assistant. I'm pretty excited about that.
Yes.
And then by fall 2021, apparently, you're going to be able to have a back and forth conversation about health problems with Siri, and there'll be built-in machine translation as well. There's also, I quote, new hardware support for a new device in the guidelines.
Interesting. Yeah. Now,
maybe HomePod Lite or something that fits in that.
Yeah.
Realm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. HomePod Mini.
that's more in line with Apple's product branding. Yeah.
HomePod Air. So, Dave, you have, and it comes with a sock. You have some AirPlay devices that you can play stuff to all the time. Does this play this on that stuff sound interesting to you?
Yeah, it you know, it's interesting. I needed music out loud in my home long before Apple was ready to provide that solution for me.
Yes.
And so I tried, I created like using, you know, early AirPlay and some of the Rogue Amoeba hack, not hacks, but the apps that sort of let you hack into that ecosystem.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Airfoil? Was that the one?
Airfoil. Yeah, exactly. And I was able to make it work, but it was a chore to get music started, even for me. A, I'm the geek, but I'm also the geek that sort of, you know, cobbled together this system in my home. You know, fast forward a little bit, and then Sonos knocked on my door and said, you know, we might have an answer for you. and we were instantly all in once Sonos explained to me what they were. This was a much more difficult thing to do in 2009 than it is in 2019.
Yes.
Sonos had a real hard time. They knocked on my door for 2 years before I finally went and met with them. 10 minutes into my meeting with them, I'm like, guys, why didn't you tell me about this sooner? And they looked at me like they were ready to kill me. So, yeah. Right.
We knocked and then for 2 years, Dave. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I went on, you know, the next episode of Mac Geek Gab and tried to explain to everyone what it was that I saw and why everyone wanted this. And, you know, 20 minutes into this segment that should have been 4 minutes, I finally started to understand what the problem was. Thankfully, now the idea of music streaming out loud in your home, like all of that is sort of, I don't want to say it's table stakes, but it's far more commonly understood. But yes, I am very much living in a Sonos household, although I have other speakers like the JBL speaker with the Google Assistant in it that I used for this particular example or the previous example. Many of my Sonos speakers are now AirPlay 2 speakers, and it has been an interesting intentional It's a shift that's required some intention. Like, oh, right, I can tell my phone to talk to that speaker. I don't have to launch that app that require, you know.
Yeah.
Like I can stream directly from my phone to that speaker. I keep forgetting that that's a thing I can do because the way I'd lived for many years prior was that was not a thing, right?
Right.
So, you know, and that's one of the cool things about Sonos is they tend to add features retroactively to products, which I really, really like. So you can have a product that's 10 years old that like has all the new stuff. Not AirPlay 2 isn't available on the speakers that are 10 years old because they didn't have the CPU and actually memory was the issue. But
they do a lot to make sure that what you have is going to continue to not preserved in amber just because you bought it, you know, a couple of years ago. Yeah.
No, not at all. Like their TruePlay is on every single speaker, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yep, even the very first one they ever released. So, that has actually been like more and more now that I keep remembering to use it, and you know, as the family members remember that, oh right, we can just stream right from here. That's cool.
Yeah,
it's a whole different workflow. It's in many cases a better workflow because it's just sort of so natural. You're like, I have this thing I'm going to play, or I'm going to tell my device to play. And I can tell it to play it over there. Like, right, got it. Yep. No, I think it's great. And I think it's great that there are lots of speakers. Sonos certainly isn't the only third party that makes an AirPlay 2 compatible speaker. There are speakers you can get. Well, I was going to say there are speakers you can get for $100 that are AirPlay 2 compatible, but that one's actually the IKEA Sonos speaker, the bookshelf speaker. But there, you know, it's a thing. Apple is open to this. They are working with, you know, multiple third parties on allowing AirPlay, and I think that's a good thing. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also interested in this because we are looking at solutions at my house for being able to stream to a variety of locations. Like, that's sort of the problem. Like, there's, you know, in the basement where there's a really nice audio setup and a good AV system and all that stuff works. Like, the Apple TV is hooked into that, and independently, the receiver has AirPlay, so I can bounce stuff to that whenever I feel like it, and that's a solved issue. But, you know, like when the weather's nice, like now, it would be nice to be able to play a little music on the patio and not just have to turn up the speakers in the basement in order to make that happen. So we've been looking at different solutions for other sort of stuff like that, and I'm interested to see where that evolution goes. I think one of the nice things about seeing the play this on that sort of interaction is that they're still looking for ways for Siri to be useful in new ways and not just refine the stuff that's already there. And this is a thing that makes a whole lot of sense. Honestly, I'm surprised we didn't get it last fall. But also, you know, part of that is, you know, part of having the assistants continue to evolve is continuing to make them useful and helpful to talk to. And, you know, there, I think all of them probably still have a ways to go in that respect. You know, sometimes like somebody will discover some interesting little bit of personality that one of them has. Right. And then all of a sudden it goes away because somebody reports on it and says, oh, isn't it cute? What happens if you ask the S lady, yeah, the plot to 2001 or the plot behind the Matrix movies? And, you know, and, you know, what she tells you is really entertaining. And then the next time you do it, like that's sort of gone. And, you know, finding that stuff is fun and entertaining. Yeah.
Like, you got fired.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Cause she used to say, so, you know, it was a very sad movie about a computer assistant, you know, like 2001 was something about how it was a very tragic, the tragic tale of a computer assistant that was mercilessly murdered by its humans or something, you know, and it was really funny. And, you know, and now yeah, if you ask her, like, she doesn't say stuff like that anymore. And it's kind of disappointing to me because I liked being able to stumble across that kind of stuff and see, you know, something interesting that somebody put in there waiting for someone to discover.
I have to say, I think this is an area where, dare I suggest it on this podcast, Google is at the moment a little bit ahead of Apple.
Yeah.
So for instance, on an and, you know, for I would assume in this, if you say Google play X band on my HomePod,
mm-hmm,
it will do it via Apple Music. I think that's a pretty reasonable assumption, right?
I don't think Google Assistant links with Apple Music.
I don't think
Music
it knows.
Right,
exactly. A lady will.
No.
If you so say no, on Apple Music, you, a lady will. Otherwise, she defaults, yeah,
so,
to Amazon.
But if you ask, if you say, if you speak to the Google Assistant, it definitely plays music through Spotify.
Yes, correct.
And it does it also both via Android Auto and just normal through your device.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems at the moment to be, I think it has a little bit more flexibility of like particularly finding music and stuff to play.
I think so. Like, from the little bit I've seen, I only know a couple of people that,
yeah,
have
it
Google
Assistant.
It feels
to me like when I've tested it a little bit, it feels to me like it's actually fairly advanced and pretty good. Like you can plug a phone into the car with Android Auto and say, okay, Google, play whatever artist you want, and it will do it through Spotify pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously that is the power you have if you're Google and you are the Matrix. Like, obviously, yeah, it's like,
well, it'll default to Google Play Music, but you can make it use Spotify, yeah, just like you can, like Amazon's A-Lady.
I think it, okay, maybe.
I think you can set it.
Yeah.
You can tell it when I say play music, use Spotify. When I say play music, use this or that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. But like the default out of box experience is that it's going to use Google Play
Music.
Yeah. Which obviously makes sense. And the same is true for, you know, Amazon, but both of those voice assistants will fully integrate with Spotify, whereas Apple's voice assistant Siri will not. It's, you,
yeah,
know, all you get is Apple Music.
Correct.
No, they're not
still having a row.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't like. They're no friends.
No.
In general, we find, because we have all three in the house, all three actually right in the kitchen, and like without fail, we find that Google is the best assistant for actually getting information from. We generally standardize, our default is the Amazon, the A-Lady assistant, just because it's so well integrated with the way we have our smart home set up. So that's sort of the one that lives as the default. But if we want information, you know, I famously asked, I don't know, maybe a year ago, how do I get my cat to how do I change my cat's sleep schedule? And I asked the Amazon's a lady that it was just a frustration thing. You know, it was like standing in the kitchen, like the freaking cat sleeps during the day, is wide awake at night. And then I realized this is a natural thing, but you know, it's just like a stupid frustration. It was like, you know, hey lady, how do I change my cat's sleep schedule? And she was like, I don't have an answer for that. You know? And then, so I asked the Google thing and it gave me this 30-second answer that had like five really good tips for fixing that problem. It was like, holy crap. You know, now Amazon, like, and then, you know, Siri would be like, I'll give you some links to the web. It's like, I asked you via voice, give me an answer via voice. Mm-hmm. That part of Siri and the Amazon's A-Lady have gotten better. Siri is still number three, but it's like a much number two and three are much closer to number one than they were a year ago. Like,
yeah.
Siri will now often actually give me, you know, a digested, consolidated answer. And they all understand the request just fine. So it's not a voice translation to text issue. It's that Google is a search company and they've been taking those text search terms and converting them into the data that people want since their inception.
Yeah.
And so they have a huge leg up over everybody else. This regard, it's no surprise that they can do this, but oh well, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's no surprise, but it is worth noting.
It is worth noting. Yeah. That's why it is. It's like they all do fine at understanding far field voice and translating that to text.
Yeah.
It's what they do with that text that separates them remarkably from one another.
And, I mean, and in a way, it would be weird if Google wasn't the best at the type of things you're describing.
Correct. Yeah, it'd be very weird that they weren't leveraging all the learning that they have done from parsing search queries for, like I said, you know, decades, almost decades.
And did you sort out the cat?
He's a weird cat, man. Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, he's a nice cat. He's really soft, but he stayed kitten sized, which is nice. I always say that's his gift to us. But that he stayed. He acts like a kitten too. He runs around like a maniac, and he's 2 years old now. But he's just weird. Like, he'll sit. He likes to be in the room with us, but doesn't always remember that he could like sit with us. He sits like, you know, one chair away from us.
Yeah.
Dude, come over here. And when he sits, then when he remembers, he's like happy and purring. It's like, dude, you can do this all the time. We're into it. You know, it's totally fine. So that's on you. Anyway, he's a cat.
Yeah. I don't trust cats.
Yeah.
I think you're correct in that assessment. Yeah.
They're plotting. Yeah.
They're always plotting.
Yes, but that's a different podcast.
Yeah, that's right. They'd kill us in our sleep if they didn't think they might need us in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're the only one that can reach the treats, you know, yeah,
then right.
They do keep you around for that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, in the meantime, stay tuned for Dave and Charlotte Talk About Cats, the TDO spinoff podcast. And podcat, I guess it would be.
Podcat. I'll let Puck know. I'll see if he approves.
All right. And I hope all of you have an excellent weekend. Dave, thanks for coming by and talking to us.
Thanks for having me. It's been a long time since I've been on the show. Thanks for having me.
I know. I'm glad you finally had a time in your schedule to hang with us. So,
yeah,
exactly. And Charlotte, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me. Happy weekend.
Yes. And happy weekend to all of you out there. I will talk to you again on Monday. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.